Good afternoon. This is KFCF Fresno, 88.1. You're listening to Stir It Up. It's our weekly program about issues in Fresno. And today we're going to be talking about homelessness in Fresno. I'm sure everybody's aware that's a very big issue in Fresno. And we're going to be I'm going to be interviewing our board operator, Mike Rhodes, who has been working with the homeless populations and issues around homelessness for, I don't know, last 10 years or so, for a very long time. And Mike has an article in the recent Community Alliance that just came out about the settlement of the current lawsuit against the city of Fresno. So, Mike, tell us about this. How did this come about and what happened?
Well, thanks, Pam. And it's great to be able to be on the show and to talk about this issue because it's something, as you mentioned, that I've been following for a very long time. Probably about the last 12 years, I've been pretty involved in homeless issues, watching the city demolish the homeless encampments and take homeless people's property from them and destroy it. Back in 2007, there was a lawsuit that emerged out of the city policy of taking and immediately destroying homeless people's property. Homeless people stood up for themselves and held the city accountable by filing a lawsuit with the ACLU and a couple of other law firms. That led to a $2.3 million settlement for the homeless to compensate them for their losses, which was the largest settlement of its kind in the country and set somewhat of a precedent saying that the city can't take and immediately destroy homeless people's property, which they claimed that they could. They thought they were cleaning up the city streets and that they had a right to take what they consider to be rubbish off of the street and throw it away. The judge and the homeless people disagreed and argued that their property was of value. The settlement that came out of that was a rather narrow victory legally for the homeless, but what it did was it forced the city to store any property that they took from the homeless for at least 90 days so that they could recover it rather than just taking it immediately out to the dump. So that worked for several years. And then in 2011, October, November 2011, they started this process of destroying all of the homeless encampments in downtown Fresno. And again, homeless advocates who were there to monitor this realized that they were taking and destroying homeless people's property.
Okay, and so what? Okay, describe the process. I mean, it took a long time. This is 3 years that it's been. Describe the process that, you know, I guess both in the prior lawsuit and in this lawsuit, that the process that folks had to go through to get to this settlement.
Oh, okay, sure. In 2007, what was going on is that, and how we got to this point was that I had been writing articles about this for many years and just this ongoing onslaught against the homeless. And I felt really bad about it. And finally, somebody, I was doing an interview on a radio show one time, they said, well, why don't you get a preliminary injunction or a temporary restraining order against the city of Fresno? And that made me think, yeah, why doesn't somebody do that? And I started asking attorneys in Fresno if they would be able to help do something like that. I'm not an attorney. I don't have any skills in that area. But I do know a lot of attorneys. And so nobody locally in Fresno was able to handle the case. But I got referred to the American Civil Liberties Union in San Francisco. They were very interested, and they came down, some of their attorneys and attorneys from several other law firms came to Fresno and had me gather some of the homeless people who'd been affected by this policy, and they told them their stories. And as they heard the stories, they realized that what was going on here in Fresno was abnormal and a constitutional violation of people's civil rights. And so they talked to the city and the attorneys there and said, you know, look, you know, this is what's happening. This is why it's wrong. And this is the remedy. And can, you know, we work something out so that this doesn't result in a lawsuit? And the city basically told them to go pound sand. And they, you know, they just stonewalled the ACLU and these other legal groups until they were forced to file a lawsuit on behalf of the homeless. And the first case was a class action lawsuit. So that means that anybody who was impacted by the city policy was a part of that lawsuit if they wanted to sign on. They could have pursued legal action on their own, but nobody did. So there was about 300 homeless people that were affected by this policy that signed on to the class action lawsuit against the city of Fresno. And then, so there was about seven or eight people who were homeless people that were the named plaintiffs in the case. And those were the ones that they really looked at those specific cases and said, you know, this is what we see was happening. And the city's, they asserted the entire time in court when we were in front of Judge Wanger that they were only destroying garbage and trash. When we showed video that we had and photographs showing the city taking and immediately destroying perfectly good property. Now, things like the obvious things like tents, sleeping bags, clothing, that's obvious that all that was being thrown away. But what the evidence showed that it was even worse than that, because people were losing things like, their wedding pictures, that they had been homeless. They took what they could with them and their most valuable things and had them stored in their tent out on the streets of Fresno. And so the city came through and they would destroy things like their, you know, wedding albums. One woman lost an urn that had the ashes of her granddaughter in it, things that were pretty irreplaceable. And we had evidence of a lot of this through video and photography. And when the judge saw that and the disconnect between what the city was claiming and what he could see with his own eyes from the video and photo evidence, it was clear that the city was on a path to lose this lawsuit. When they realized that, then that's when the settlement came about.
Okay, and then this time it was a little bit different, right? Because it wasn't a class action lawsuit. But I understand it took a very long time in both times, and there was a lot of effort put into it. So this time it seemed like it took 3 years, and there was a lot of stalling tactics by the city.
Well, I mean, that's the legal process. I mean, you use the tools that you have to defend your client. And the city contracted this out, and the attorneys use whatever tools they have available to them. And it's been 3 years now since the actions happened, you know, probably 2 years and 9 months from the time of the lawsuit was filed. But, it was a really long time. There were depositions. Okay, one way that this was different than the time before is that these were individual lawsuits against the city of Fresno. So there were 36 individual lawsuits filed against the city of Fresno claiming that their property had been taken and immediately destroyed. So the city was facing 36 separate trials, potentially. And every one of the clients was deposed, which means that they sit down with the attorneys for the city and they go through what happened. And each of those depositions took several hours. With 36 homeless people, it took time to find them and to get them scheduled in. And it was a long process. And then the attorneys for the homeless deposed a number of people as well. Most of the workers that were involved, the city workers, people from City Hall, from everyone from like Bruce Rudd, who's now the city manager, and he was very involved in this before, to Ashley Swearingen, who was deposed. There was a lot of interesting things that came out in those depositions. Tom Richards, who's a developer in downtown Fresno, gave a deposition in which we learned that he made his firm, Pinstar, made $1 million in building some homeless housing during this time, which for a unit that houses 69 homeless people cost about $11 million, I believe. As a consultant, Pinstar and Richards, who's the CEO, earned $1 million as consultants. That's not buying the property, spending the money to buy the property or anything, but it's just making money from that. We learned other things, like, you know, how involved the mayor was in all this and, you know, some idea about why it happened.
And why is that?
Well, I think that there were a lot of factors that went into this. There was no one smoking gun that came out of it, but there's several things that were happening. One is the obvious, that there was these homeless encampments in downtown Fresno. They're probably the largest community of homeless people living in semi-permanent structures anywhere in the country. And I think that City Hall, the mayor, found that objectionable, that in her city that she was the mayor of, that there would be this visible of a sign of homelessness. And she wanted to stop that. I think that that was a large motivating factor for them. Now, they claim that at the time that the reason was that there was some construction that was going to go on. They were going to tear down a overpass and redo a bridge. And, you know, there were a few other construction projects that they claimed were the reason for this. But really, the evidence doesn't indicate that that was the most pressing reason for destroying the homeless encampments. Another reason, I believe, that they did this was because Judge Wanger had just retired at that time in October and November of 2011. He was making a transition out of the federal court into private practice, or retiring. I mean, he practices law now still, so he didn't really retire, but he left the bench. He was the judge that made the ruling, so there was nobody to go to at the federal court that really understood this issue like Judge Wanger did. When he was gone, then that sort of opened the door for the city to move in and destroy these encampments. And then the third thing that I think was a big factor in this is that there's money involved. What I mean by that is that there's money that is streaming into Fresno through HUD, the Housing and Urban Development Program of the federal government, that, you know, they have their priorities of what they want to give money towards, and they were encouraging the city to get rid of these unsightly homeless encampments and push for a program called Housing First, which is the mayor's stated goal, is to have a Housing First program that houses homeless. Well, of course, you want to house homeless people, but the problem with the current plan that the mayor has is that the largest structure that they've built for this is for 69 people. Well, that's great. You get 69 people off the streets, but there are thousands of people in Fresno that are homeless. So they've completely left those people out on the streets. Some of them died after these demolitions took place. And the city's policy is not to provide them with any assistance portable toilets, trash bins, drinking water. If you're homeless and you're physically on the streets of Fresno, you really don't get any assistance from the city. Now, they will spend enormous amounts of money to defend their policy of demolishing homeless encampments and destroying homeless people's property. In fact, I just did a California Public Records Act request from the city, and I found out how much they spent on this most recent lawsuit. This is just the most recent lawsuit. They spent $865,000 to defend the city, ultimately, which ended up in a settlement for these 36 people. They got compensated for their losses, but the city spent $860,000 to defend themselves in that lawsuit. They could have used that money to provide a safe and legal place for homeless people to live, where they could live with some dignity and respect. But instead, they spent it because they wanted to destroy, demolish, and take homeless people's property.
So let me kind of dial back a little bit. How have these lawsuits impacted homeless people? Has it impacted how the city behaves? Have their monetary compensation, has that been a meaningful thing? How do you think it's impacted homeless folks?
Well, I would like to say that it has profoundly impacted public policy. It has changed public policy somewhat, in that now the city has to store property for 90 days, and homeless people have a right to reclaim it. So that is in place. So the city doesn't really, and I'm kind of waffling here because I think that there are some times when maybe they do take and destroy homeless people's property, but they've got to be very cautious about doing that. Generally, when they come upon a new encampment, and encampments have continued to reemerge and be destroyed by the city of Fresno, but they're taking people's property now and storing it, and what they do is they put up a notice about where homeless people can reclaim their property. So, you know, it's maybe a subtle difference in how they do things. They don't just go in with the bulldozer and haul things out to the dump now, but they have a process they have to go through. So I think that's a good thing. On the other hand, they've just gotten the city of Fresno has their policy has developed. And what they're doing now, which I find really objectionable, is that now whenever a homeless person is moving around the city and they have a shopping cart, say, with their property in it, and they go to the Poverello House, and the Poverello House is a homeless center where homeless people go to get some assistance, sometimes to eat, sometimes to take showers. If they leave their shopping cart outside on the street at the Poverello House, and they can't bring it inside, they won't let them. So if they, in order to get food, and they go in and eat, and they come out, what the city does is the city has now got a full-time homeless task force, which is run through the police department, where they're operating basically 24 hours a day looking for homeless people's property or any emergence of a new encampment. And as soon as they find that, they call in city sanitation, who hauls off the property and puts it into storage. So if you go in and eat at the Poverello House, you're homeless, you go in and eat, come out, your property is more than likely going to be gone. And then you have to go through a whole process in order to get it back. You've got to call a number, schedule an appointment, go down there at a particular time on a, you know, some day, and then look for your property in their storage units. It's different than just taking and immediately destroying it, but a lot of times homeless people don't have much of a choice of keeping anything much of value because it's just going to be taken again. And there's this constant cycle of going down and reclaiming it. And if you don't reclaim it, then it's lost. And you can't really carry everything on your back all the time. And there's no place to really put it otherwise. And there's just simply not enough shelters in Fresno where the homeless people can stay. They are forced to live on the streets, sleep on the sidewalks. If you go down now any evening to Santa Clara and G Street and drive down Santa Clara to E Street, you'll see 100 or more people sleeping literally on the sidewalks because they have no place else to go. And as you know, if you live anywhere around here, people are also living all over the city in every little nook and cranny.
I know you have some music that you have ready to play for us.
I do.
At least an artistic response to this rather outrageous and emotional and upsetting situation. So,
right. Well, yeah. So what it is there was a concert over the weekend called the Teatro de la Tierra fundraiser concert with Augustine Lira and Patricia Wells. They've produced a song called Don't Be Homeless in Fresno. I recorded it while I'm there. It's not the best quality ever, but they are doing a version of this through like Folkway Records, so it should be out shortly, and I'm looking forward to hearing that. But until then, here is the version that we have available.
Don't come to Fresno if you want to have no more time on your friends. Don't you go back or sleeping in the streets. We don't want that here. We look down on anyone. Don't come to Fresno if you're homeless. And don't you dare bring all your pets. Don't give your personal belongings in the car. You won't be here long. And don't go pushing shopping carts down on Woodward Park.
KFCF Fresno, 88.1. You're listening to The Stirred Up Show. I'm your host, Pam Whalen, and I'm talking in the studio with Mike Rhodes about the homeless, the recent homeless settlement that came about a few months ago. And we've sort of talked about the situation, and as both Mike, you have described it, and as Augustine Lyra has described it, it's very, very heartbreaking. So what kind of, just, you've been doing this work for a long time, what do you think is really driving the homelessness that we're seeing so much of, and what do you think really can be done about it that might work or should, that should be done, even if it's hard to do?
Well, that's a big question that I'm sure a lot of people ask. And you're right. I've thought about this a lot, and I'm currently in the process of writing a book about my experience on the homeless issue in Fresno over the last 10 or 12 years. And I hope to give some insights into what the problems are and what some of the solutions are. Clearly, I think that homelessness is a result of the economic and political system that we are a part of, and that it is something we can eliminate. We can solve the homeless issue by refocusing our attention and commitment to providing adequate housing, low-income, affordable housing in the country. You know, one of the things I've been reading is, doing a little research on this book, is about how this country, up until the 70s, the late 70s, put a lot of money into building infrastructure for affordable housing. And then in the early 80s, the bottom dropped out of that. It was like Reaganomics and some political decision-making at the national level to refocus how we dealt with affordable housing. The money in HUD just plummeted. And instead, what emerged was some funding for the shelter systems. And it's, you know, homelessness shot up, and the shelters, the response through the shelters is inadequate. What we really need to do is to have an enormous amount of resources, maybe build one or two less destroyers or military jets, and we would have the resources to rebuild the infrastructure for affordable housing in this country. So that's the solution to it. And it's up to us as a community that cares about dignity and respect for all people to create the conditions where that's possible and refocus our priorities.
Yeah, and I just want to editorialize a little bit here, because I've done some of this work also. A lot of times the reason that is put forward for homelessness is that people have drug addiction problems or they have mental health problems. I think it's really important, to point out, well, house people have drug addiction problems and they have mental health problems. So that's not what's causing this. And that it's like you say, a political and economic decisions that were made.
It's not a personal problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, people have issues, sure, but we have the resources to provide resources to address those issues if we prioritize things right. You know, taking money away from the military, putting it into human needs, we can end homelessness almost immediately. And in the meantime, we need to provide, until we have that stock of housing for affordable housing, you know, we need to treat people with dignity and respect. People need to have a legal, safe place where they could live if they end up homeless, and they need basic public services just like everybody else has in this country.
Okay, and if people want to help, is there anywhere that they can plug in?
Well, it depends on where you are and what you're interested in. I would encourage people, just, I guess, for a quick response to that, to connect with Food Not Bombs and provide some basic food and services for the homeless. They serve people every Saturday and Sunday. There are other groups that are doing that. If you want to get in touch with me, I would be more than happy to point you in the right direction.
And how can they get in touch with you?
Pick up a copy of the Community Alliance newspaper, a big article on this story on page 2, and my contact information is at the end.
Okay, thank you very much. Mike Rhodes giving us an update on the homeless lawsuit in Fresno, and you've been listening to KFCF Fresno 88.1, the Stir It Up Show. I'm your host, Pam Whalen. Mike Rhodes is on the controls and also speaking, and now we're going to go back to KPFA.